Hi, everyone. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. It's Friday. We're on the brink of another beautiful weekend. So thanks for joining us this afternoon before you head out to all your weekend activities. Chris Meany, Ashley Docking here with you. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good.
You're doing good?
I'm doing great.
Lisa Ann's joining us, so things are about to get even better. Author of The Life. And then Drew Dinkmeyer is going to join us. We're talking MLB DFS before we head into the weekend as well. But first, we got a look at the Dallas Cowboys
finally,
their glory, or maybe not, depending on if you like Tony Romo and if you like Dak Prescott and if you believe in preseason hype. Chris, what do you think?
Well, we'll get to Elliott in a little bit because that's what everybody wants to know and that's what everybody wanted to see. But Tony Romo leaving the game just after three snaps, the lower back injury, that's certainly concerning. I mean, we've talked on this desk before, Ashley, about Romo and just his injury concerns this last season and towards the end of the year before. Jerry Jones says he's fine.
Yep.
Of course, Jerry Jones is going to say that, quote unquote, he's not injured. Well, I don't know. He's kind of injured. He left the game. But he was, he seems like he's fine. But maybe we just need to start just thinking about Dak Prescott. I know we're not going to pump his tires as much as like Gabe Morenci on this network because Gabe really, really loves him. There's a lot to like about him. Seven touchdowns, two of them rushing, 39 for 50 in the preseason, 454 yards.
Yep. Completion no interceptions.
Percentage 78%. Yeah, no interceptions.
No interceptions.
So I think he needs to be on your radar only if you're playing in like, if you're in Dynasty in a keeper league.
Yep.
We talked with Jake Seeley about Dynasty rankings. In the third round, Dak Prescott was taken in my Dynasty league just two spots after Carson Wentz. So just start thinking about Dak Prescott. It seems like he could be fine in this role, but certainly Dallas is going to need Tony Romo if they want to do anything this year.
Well, Romo pushing 30 as well, or 40, excuse
me. Yeah, pushing 40.
Pushing 40 as well. So they need to be thinking about what's next when they turn the page on Romo.
He wish he was
pushing
30.
And Ezekiel Elliott, that's what's next. Everyone was wondering, is the hype warranted? And we saw last night that, yes. Yes, it seems like it is. Behind the best offensive line in the league, he showed out against the Seattle first-string offense, including putting some moves on Cam Chancellor.
Yeah, the shoulder on him.
The shoulder on him. He was great at picking up a couple blitzes, too, protecting Tony Romo, including on the play where Romo went down. So he's versatile, he looked explosive, and he looked like he's going to have no problem adjusting to the NFL right off the bat. And I think, honestly, this even bumps up his value and rankings even more so, if that's even possible for a rookie.
Well, we'll talk to Lisa Ann about it because we're going to talk about the Cowboys with her, so we'll see where, you know, she has him. I still, in standard leagues, I still have AP, David Johnson over him. I'm a big fan of Lamar Miller, but I won't
argue.
But you have
him over Gurley now.
Yeah, I would go Elliott over Gurley. I mean, I'm not really so. Gurley's fantastic, but again, I just don't love that offense. You can stack the box against him. The secret is out on Gurley. Yes, he's good, and it's just the one guy in that offense that can beat you. But that line, I mean, even Alfred Morris again was fantastic.
Yeah.
It's a line, and this is the quote from Elliott that I like. Like, I can only think of one run where somebody tackled me that wasn't in the second. When you're running on safeties all day long, it makes your job look really easy.
Yeah.
And that's not a shot at Seattle. It's not a shot
it's
at anybody. It's a compliment to his O-line and just how fantastic that they were and how they're going to be all season long.
But first and foremost, let's just talk a little bit about Ezekiel Elliott making a trip to Herbin Legends in Seattle. I mean, rookie mistake to say the least. He shows up to a weed shop on a trip to Seattle just to check out the paraphernalia. The reports say he didn't buy anything.
Good.
But you're taking pictures with fans, dude. Be better. Come on, man. But Herbin Legends, have you ever heard of a better name for a weed store?
No.
Never.
Fantastic.
Tell me about Kristen Michael.
I'm in on this guy. I hadn't been, Ashley. Like, I'd never really bought into the hype with Michael. And I said this on the Pat Mayo Hour last week that I had never done this. But I'm buying into this right now. I like what I saw from him last season. After he was traded away from Dallas to go back to Seattle, he had three solid games towards the end of the year. Mm-hmm. A nice playoff game as well. He got a lot of touches. I know Rawls wasn't around. He was hurt. But listen, so far, 24 for 157 yards, 6.5 yards per carry. Again, those four games last season, he had 84 yards on the ground, 102, 70 yards. He's working with the first team offense. I know Thomas Rawls is not around, but for me, I think this guy's a borderline top 30 RB, and I think if anything, it's going to be a split, certainly right off the get-go. Haven't seen Rawls get on the field yet, and what have we seen from Rawls? An undrafted running back who's had four good games. It's just as good as Michael in his career. So I don't think people should be drafting Michael as like RB 18, 19, 20 where he's going. And then you can just get Michael as 20 RBs later on. Like what?
Yeah,
like, I think there's tremendous value for him. But I think as we see a little bit more and more hype starts rolling around this guy, he may even go a little bit higher, but I'm on board with him. I'm all in.
Everyone's talking Thomas Rawls. Everyone's talking CJ Procise. Everyone wants to
Procise was nice, too. He's going to be the third down back there, and I think that's what we saw from him was...
But Michael just put his head down, did his work, and just kind of wedged himself into almost, on Roto-World, he was listed as second string now.
Yeah.
Ahead of Procise.
Yeah.
So,
well,
you
we
know,
haven't seen Rawls get on the field
know,
yet. That's concerning. How are you going to draft this guy as a top 20 RB? He has yet to get on the field, and... Pete Carroll loves both of these guys, but he has a lot of praise to say about Michael. And how he's turned around his game when he saw him, you know, past couple of years.
It was concerning when Arian Foster got on the game for his first preseason game. I think his total was -5 yards.
Yeah.
But then he came back in his third preseason game just last night.
Couple catches.
Looking good.
Touchdown.
Couple catches out of the backfield. Got a touchdown. Got some red zone work, on the goal line. He was showing off his vision that he's known so well for. He was effective. He's doing a little bit of everything, which is nice to see. Again, his value depends on him being healthy, which is always a concern, but a lot to look forward to if his performance this season is indicative of his performance last night.
Yeah, he was elusive, like you mentioned, along the red zone, right along the goal line. He was able to, you know, fake out a defender and get into the red zone. That's what we like about him. That's what we know. Again, but just draft with caution with this guy, though. You have to be wary of him because he's been hurt. And Pro Football Focus has some great stats, of course, and just saying that Foster's always been in front or behind the top 10 run blocking line, and Miami the worst run blocking line in all football last season, so that's going to be an adjustment period. But Kenny Stills, before we get out of here too, and a lot of people talking about this guy, he's going as like wide receiver 70. He has a connection already with Tannehill. 6 targets was the most out of anybody last night so far in the 3 preseason games. 7 grabs, 117 yards, 2 touchdowns, ahead of Parker in 2 wide receiver sets. Miami's going to use a lot of 3 wide receiver sets, and I think the word is in Miami that they're going to be slow with Parker, but Kenny Stills needs to be on somebody's radar. It's just like a last round pick. I mean, why not?
All right, cool. Yeah. I like it. Thanks, Chris.
All right.
Always a pleasure.
My work's done here.
Have a good
See
weekend.
See you later.
Coming up next, Lisa Ann, we continue with our team previews, today, hitting on the Dallas Cowboys on FST after the break. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. And if everyone wasn't talking about the Dallas Cowboys, America's team, before last night, they definitely are today. Ezekiel Elliott, Tony Romo, Dak Prescott. So we're bringing in Lisa Ann, author of The Life, to talk about the Dallas Cowboys and give us her thoughts on America's team. Hi, Lisa.
How are you guys today?
Great. We're doing good. How about you?
Well, good. You know, first of all, does anyone else think it's ridiculous that Romo even decided to run in a preseason game?
Yeah, he probably should have just threw the ball away.
And
right?
I wasn't even really a run. It was kind of like a lumber. Like, you kind of knew he didn't mean it.
Gingerly moving. I mean, he's moving like the Bionic Man used to in slow motion, if you're old enough to remember that television show.
I do know the one you're talking about.
We are.
And this happens, and he grabs for his back right away. You know, of course, we have the comfort of Dak Prescott, which is the first time we've had the comfort of a backup quarterback. But the reality is, does anyone see Romo playing more than 6 games this season? And that's the concern. But boy, when it happens this quickly in preseason, it really makes me worry for his overall health and his situation. Is it worth continuously taking this risk?
Yeah, so I think just from hearing you say that is that Tony Romo is not on your radar at all when it comes to drafting a quarterback. What do you make of Dak Prescott in his preseason so far?
You know, I understand that it's preseason and he's working against a vanilla defense in most cases, but I looked at the game last night and thought Seattle was kind of playing like it was midseason, and you're still looking at roster cuts. And so a lot of these players are fighting to be a difference maker in this preseason setting, so that they can potentially stay. So I think he does great under pressure. He took a couple hits last night. He gets back up pretty quick. He had to scramble in that one play, but he was able to stay upright. You know, it's going to take a lot for defenders to really take him down. He's a big guy. So I have incredible comfort in Dak Prescott. I see him spreading the ball around, making some good decisions, and it's much better than the concern that we all have for Tony Romo.
Yeah.
And I think when Tony Romo's out, people look to the run game even more than they already do behind a great offensive line in Dallas. So we're talking about Ezekiel Elliott, as is everyone else in the football community. What you saw last night, did that give you even more hope for his potential? Do you see this guy maybe even becoming the number one running back this year in all of football?
we still have to be, you know, 7 touches for 48 or 49 yards was solid. He pushes really hard. You can see he's got great momentum with the weight and the strength of his body. So you can see him plow and get some extra yards after that first bit of contact. But we have the concern of a lingering hamstring, which could hold him back to being, yes, he has the potential when he's in for these 8 to 10 minute runs, but will we get to see him for an entire game? I would rather them pace him because Alfred Morris also looks so good right now. So why not share the work? In fantasy, it's a nightmare for us. I've taken Ezekiel Elliott a couple leagues already, but I did handcuff Alfred Morris. And I worry with that much intensity with him pushing off the ground and using his body so aggressively, how hard can that be to not feel that lingering hamstring?
Do you think people are kind of giving Alfred Morris a little too much credit? Because you have McFadden. I know he had the offseason injury to his elbow, but he had over 1,000 yards rushing last year, over 300 yards receiving. Are people too quick to write him off at this point?
No, but I think what we saw was when McFadden did it, we understand the line is so good in Dallas and it makes it possible for anybody to do that kind of work. DeMarco Murray did it the season before. So it's who's up to the plate. And I think Alfred Morris really slipped in the radar of a lot of fantasy owners and a lot of NFL fans. And this could be where he needs to be to shine again. He's still young enough. He's a good back. And he's working with a line right now that can really open up some holes for him, make it possible.
Yeah, and he's costing nothing, Lisa, on draft day. I mean, why not take a flyer on this guy? As you mentioned, the best offensive line in football, and he looks fantastic so far. Let's talk about the pass catchers, and we start with Dez Bryant, of course. A miserable year for him last year, couldn't stay on the field, bothered by a foot injury, now with a concussion. Where does he rank in terms of just wide receivers? After you get off after the big three go off the board, are you taking a look at Dez, or are you still looking at Hopkins or maybe A.J. Green?
So far, I've only taken Dez in one league because at the time I had so much concern for Romo. I have more hope for Dez now that we're confident with Dak Prescott. Yeah. But that doesn't really mean what we know is going to happen in regular season. I still worry about Dez's foot. He did look great. I was glad to get to see him play live against the Rams for the season opener of preseason. But concussion is concerning because we've seen players who then start to get in this situation multiple times. So Dallas is still a tricky endeavor. And I think when you look at a DeAndre Hopkins, who can really catch a ball from anybody, you feel just confident in that. And you're not as worried about changes that could affect his reps.
And Dez was upset also that his Madden rating was lowered. I don't know if you guys saw that. He was 96 last year. And then it dropped down to a 90.
Of course I saw that. Right after I saw it's been a week or two ago when he had to give up his monkey finally, okay? I don't always think that Dez is playing with a full deck. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I
love him as an athlete. He's incredible to watch. I think he needs to work on his patience a bit. He gets a little bit too animated on the sidelines, and sometimes they say it's passion, but I feel a team really needs to be working together, whether they're winning or losing. They need to be a unit that's supportive and not aggressive towards each other. So I have my ifs and fights with that, but his Madden ranking goes by stats of games played and everything else. He can't be that upset about it. He's had a lot of injuries, and he's been working with a quarterback who has yet to take them to a championship.
And he Madden responded back on Twitter, a clapback, if you will, of Dez taking a field goal, and it just literally like squirted to the right. They're like, maybe this has something to do with your overall ranking. A good back and forth there. But so if Dez, foot concerns,
yes,
concussion concerns, Terrence Williams, next man up. But we saw in the game yesterday, Dak Prescott kind of hung a ball up there through the middle of the field, and it looked like Williams kind of gave up on it. He didn't try and come back to it. The defender knocked it down. What do you think his potential is in the season?
That's a concern for me. When we look at the opposite side, look at Tyler Lockett, who's been a rookie on my radar since his rookie season last year. I knew he was going to have a breakout end of the year, so I had him tucked away on my bench in many, many leagues. Look how long he waited for that ball to get in the air from Russell Wilson and had himself available. And when they showed it from the sky cam, he was jumping up and down to just be a good target for Russell. I mean, he is committed until the play ends. Yeah. And I would love to see the same thing from Terrence Williams, but I'm not sure if that's something that can be taught. I mean, when you look at Tyler Lockett play, I've never seen a player look like he's having so much fun. And I'm fascinated by him as a person. I got to interview him at the Super Bowl last year. He has a lot of positive things going on, and, you know, just an awesome player all the way around. Can Terrence Williams ever be that? I just don't know.
Maybe we got to give some of that heart and enthusiasm from Dez to Terrence, and then even them both out.
Where's the love? Like, share the passion. Like, we could do a Ballers about this, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
It's one thing, you're making good points at the quarterback play, though. It's so important for Dallas because, you know, when some of the injuries happened, they were looking for a backup quarterback, and there were some rumors that they were going to make a trade, but Prescott's been so good. And in last season, when Romo was hurt, Dez was just invisible, Williams was invisible, the whole passing game was just nothing. Now this leads to the next question before we get you out of here on Jason Witten. How important is Witten? I mean, this guy's always been a top 10 tight end, but without Romo, he just seems to kind of be lost, and people are just forgetting about him. Are you drafting him at all, or just are people just dropping the ball because he's right now going like tight end 14, 15?
Oh, I'm in some super flexes with two tight ends, and he's still straggling down there in the 13th, 14th round. Yeah, I think Witten is a good stash. I mean, he showed a little flash of excitement last night. He's got a perfect attendance in the NFL. He plays through anything. And again, let's look at Dak Prescott and have the faith that he can get it out there to Witten. Witten's got that big body that can make a play happen that maybe a Cole Beasley or a Terrence Williams can't. So, yeah, I think my whole shares and my thoughts of Jason Witten have stepped up my board a couple of notches over these past 2 weeks.
Fair.
Lisa, thank you so much for the insight. Sorry, I heard myself talk back and I thought I was interrupting you. That was weird. Anyways, thank you so much. We really appreciate your time, and we hope that you'll come and talk to us again soon.
Anytime. You guys have a great weekend. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, you too.
Enjoy all your drafts.
Lisa Ann, author of The Life. Give her a follow on Twitter, dishing out fantasy advice all the time. Talk show on SiriusXM. Jinx. Coming up next, Drew Dinkmeyer, MLB. We'll be back. This is Fantasy Sports Today. We've been NFL heavy this afternoon, from the Dallas Cowboys preview with Lisa Ann to just news and notes from around the league. But now we got to change it up. It's Friday, which means MLB DFS, which means Drew Dinkmeyer.
Yes.
Daily Roto is going to join us and lend us some of his expertise. Hello, Drew. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, Drew, we really appreciate you. Just all the work you guys are doing at Daily Roto, fantastic, because it's football all the time. So the baseball fans really appreciate you guys and what you're doing. And let's start with the pitching slate tonight. Chris Sale, $11,700 on DraftKings up against Seattle. We got Corey Kluber there, Felix Hernandez, Justin Verlander. Funny to see Steven Wright in this top tier, but he is there. And then it goes down to Jeff Samardzija. So what are you looking at here from a pitching standpoint? Maybe you want to throw it a GPP player or a cash play, somebody you're more comfortable with.
Yeah, I think if you're looking at the top tier, the guy that I'm most comfortable with from a price perspective and how he's been pitching of late is Justin Verlander. Obviously, the Angels are always a little bit of a tricky matchup for DFS purposes because they don't strike out a ton. But their lineup has gotten a little bit more strikeout heavy down the stretch. You know, they had the DL, Yunel Escobar, who makes tons of contact. That opened up a spot for Caleb Cowart, who is a little bit more strikeout prone. Andrelton Simmons and Albert Pujols are really the nuisances in the middle of the lineup that just don't strike out at all. But you throw CJ Cron in there, you throw Jet Bandy in there, and you start to get a little bit more of a viable strikeout rate. The price is down on Verlander from where he's been the last few starts. You know, on DraftKings, we had seen him touching 13,000 a couple starts ago. Now he's back in the mid-10s. I think that's a very solid price tag for a pitcher who builds in a lot of consistency with a strikeout baseline, but also consistently working deep in the games almost every time out, you're getting seven innings from him.
Yeah, we saw J-Hap. I mean, he doesn't strike out a lot of guys, and he was striking out some guys early in that game against the Angels yesterday.
Yeah, before he got that scare, the ball came back and hit him, and then he was a little off from there.
Then it was all downhill.
Then it was all downhill from there. The whole game was downhill for the Toronto Blue Jays, actually. All right, Verlander, over $10,000. If you're looking to save some money on pitching, Drew, who are you looking at?
There's a couple different guys. I think David Phelps is really interesting, a little bit more so on FanDuel than on DraftKings. He's been priced back up on DraftKings at 8,700, but a very good matchup with the Padres. He has the lowest implied run total against on the slate at just over 3 runs. And then I think if you want to go really cheap, you've got Gio Gonzalez against a Rockies lineup that is constructed better to face right-handed pitching, and obviously out of Coors Field, they're always a weaker offense. But you got the platoon advantage on Charlie Blackman, on Carlos Gonzalez. DJ LeMahieu's been banged up, and he's always a nuisance because he makes a ton of contact. His replacement is Daniel Descalso. So if LeMahieu is out, that's a really nice boost for Gio Gonzalez. And he's just around 6,000 on DraftKings, a really cheap price tag. And then if you want to go even cheaper, I think Luke Weaver of the St. Louis Cardinals, a rookie young right-hander with really electric stuff, has had a good K rate in both of his first two starts against the Cubs and the Phillies, gets an Oakland team that loses the DH, transitioning to a National League park, and will likely be very strikeout prone as well, as down the stretch they've been playing more younger players trying to develop playing time. Some of these players just aren't major league ready yet, so you're seeing the strikeout rates on Oakland also increase of late. So I think those are four different options at different price points that you can look for on DraftKings.
Yeah, Weaver, $4,200.
He's basically free.
And I mean, you mentioned his strikeout rate in the bigs. Fantastic strikeout rate in the minors, too. Let's move on here. Ashley and I always joke about every Friday, it seems like Brendan Finnegan is just pitching, and it just seems like he's an easy target to pick on. Inside the top 10 in home runs allowed. But A.J. Pollock expected to return from the DL. He's only $3,300. Are you playing this guy tonight?
I'm definitely playing A.J. Pollock in my cash games and I'll have lots of exposure in tournaments as well. I sort of hope he flies under the radar a little bit with him just returning from the DL. He's been gone all season long, had that injury in the preseason that really kind of set a bad tone for the Diamondbacks on the whole season. He's come back and he's played 10 minor league games, or 12 minor league games on his rehab assignment. He's hit at every level. He's walked a ton. He's put up a 563 weighted on base average in his four games at AAA. So he looks ready to me by all indicators in terms of the metric standpoint. It's a very good matchup with Finnegan. This is a guy who has crushed left-handed pitching in his career, Adrian Pollock. The only unknown with Pollock is where they're going to hit him in the order. And I'm hoping it's second. You know, they've kind of had a vacancy in that second slot all year where they've been trying to fill it with guys like Michael Thorne. Get A.J. Pollock back in that second slot, and all of a sudden the Diamondbacks offense becomes a little bit of a juggernaut against left-handed pitching when you get Pollock, Goldschmidt, Castillo all in the middle, three guys that just crush left-handed pitching.
One of the things that we love in DFS is riding the hot hand, and you kind of have to get on that while you can, so Josh Bell fits that role. Small sample size, but batting over 400. He's only had one appearance against left-handed pitching, so all that is against right-handers. Tonight, taking on Garza, so a right-hander. This seems like a perfect situation for him.
Yeah, I think Bell's an interesting target for tournaments on DraftKings because he's so cheap at $2,900. He'll come with almost no ownership because, in general, the way the salaries are on DraftKings, it's not that hard to fit in guys. You've got some different discounted players today, whether it's Carlos Correa at $3,400 or A.J. Pollock at $3,300 or Jose Bautista at $4,000, lots of cheap guys. So I think Josh Bell will fly under the radar a little bit. He hits in the sixth spot, which isn't great. Usually you want guys in the top five of the lineup. But on the road, in a very good offensive environment in Milwaukee, I think Bell's a really interesting prospect. He's a guy that the Zips and Steamer projection systems peg for like a 320 weighted on base average for the rest of the season, which is pretty good because projection systems tend to be fairly conservative with rookies. He's a switch hitter, so he doesn't lose the platoon advantage late in the game. Garza really struggles against lefties quite a bit. I think Bell's value is most cash game relevant on FanDuel, where he's priced as a pure punt at $2,300 at first base. Now, obviously, there's some opportunity cost at first base, but I think that price tag makes him cash game viable over there.
It's nice to see him finally get some at-bats. I know around the All-Star break, he was just having some pinch hit appearances, pinch hit RBI, pinch hit Grand Slam. We got about 30 seconds. We're basically out of here. Drew, is there a favorite stack you like tonight? I know Ricky Nolasco with the Angels have been pretty bad.
Yeah, there's so many teams you can stack tonight. I think the Blue Jays will be very popular, so I think you want to pivot from them in tournaments. I like the Diamondbacks and the Orioles, especially with big power upside going up against Luis Sessa in Yankee Stadium.
All right, thank you so much, Drew. We love talking to you, and we'll hope to talk to you again soon. Have an amazing weekend.
Thanks so much, guys.
Take care. Yeah. I encourage everybody to check out their podcast. Follow Drew on Twitter. It's a great podcast.
Have a good weekend.
Take care.
Bye.